Are you a grill master? Are you looking to take your barbecue to the next level? Then you absolutely have to try Cox Sauce Barbecue Sauce. Y'all, I swear there was no relation here, but I wish there was, because this is some of the best barbecue sauce I've ever had. Originally created by the co-founder of Bojangles and kept in the Cox family for generations, Cox Sauce is a sweet and tangy Carolina Red barbecue sauce that goes great on chicken, ribs, pork, shrimp, and seafood. Just drizzle some on before everything's done, and you'll get that sweet, perfect tang with a touch of heat. Barbecue sauce also makes the best gift since it's kid-friendly and cheaper than whiskey. Head to their website and get a free bottle when you purchase three, or stock your pantry and get 25% off when you order four. That's coxsaucebbqsauce.com. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 113 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by Cox Sauce Barbecue Sauce. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001, and I hope y'all had a lovely weekend out there and a lovely start to your week. I appreciate y'all being flexible with the little bit later release of the pod this week. It was just such a whirlwind in Gamecock Nation. I had to get my head screwed on straight. Just had to, you know, get ready to, you know, speak to y'all about some things. Now I'm just technical difficulties and whatnot. But got a lot to cover here. Only three sports to talk about: football, men's basketball, and women's basketball. But boy, oh boy, was there a lot of news that was going on. So going to start with the weekend slash week in review from the football program. And I mean, my goodness, it really has been a couple of weeks for the football team. I mean, just because they are not playing does not mean that this team is done making news. My goodness, never a dull moment in Gamecock country. I'm just trying to get to the bowl game. Like, can we just get to this bowl game as quickly and painlessly as possible? Apparently, that's a lot to ask in college football nowadays. So, everyone, let's take a deep breath in and let's get through some of this news here. First off, Zach Pickens, that's right, has decided to opt out of the Gator Bowl and will begin preparations for the NFL draft. Now, this is obviously disappointing news, right? Anytime you have an opt-out for the bowl game, it stinks because it means your lineup looks differently, your depth chart isn't going to be quite the same. But Zach is someone that Gamecock fans really can't be mad at. This man gave his all for this program, came in as one of the higher-rated recruits to the team, grew into a very good player, and helped lead the team to some big-time wins. And this season was about as steady as you can ask for in the middle of that defensive line. So I wish him nothing but the best. I look forward to seeing him on Sundays, but it's going to stink to not have him in the Gator Bowl, and that will obviously leave a big hole, right, on that defensive line. He was a leader, but there is still some talent on that line with that group, guys like Tonka Hemingway, Boogie Huntley, among others. But this will give an opportunity to some other players looking to get some good playing time. So when one door closes, another one opens, and that defensive line will have to adapt. And The good thing is you have plenty of time to practice to lead up to that bowl game with whichever group you're rolling with. And I guess in that same note of doors closing, this next bit of news stinks. It is that Marshawn Lloyd has entered the transfer portal, and this really comes in talking about a whirlwind of news, right? This news comes a day after he scrubbed his Twitter bio of all things South Carolina and then posted a real cryptic tweet about just this game has no sympathy, got to look out for yourself. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, to say this news hurts is an understatement, right? I mean, this hurts. You know, Marshawn, to me at least, it felt like someone who was meant to do great things for South Carolina. And I really got the sense of he was playing for the name on the front of the jersey, right? And I'm sure he loved his time at South Carolina. He had a very nice message on Instagram announcing his intention to enter the transfer portal. But in even the one really good season he had, which was this season, even though it was shortened due to injury, he looked like an incredible player, the player that he was recruited to be, and looked like he was ready to do some great things for the Garnet and Black. And I mean, his talent level is sky high. His potential is through the roof. And I mean, it's just going to suck. It's going to suck to see him succeed somewhere else. And it leaves a huge question mark in that group for next season. Like, yes, it was a deep room this year, but are more guys going to leave? You know, who exactly is left? You know, you got a guy like Rashad Amos, of course, Juju McDowell, Lavoisier Carroll. Maybe you use the portal yourself, bring in another veteran. It's just tough, man. I mean, his departure, it just leaves you scratching your head. Like, what the heck? You know, I mean, I fear this has to do with him chasing a huge NIL deal, which is the sad reality of college football recently. And it's just very eyebrow raising, right? That's a term, I think, eyebrow raising. And it's a little concerning that the Gamecocks have had several starting high quality players opt for the transfer portal after coming off of a good year. Like, what more has to be done to retain this talent? I mean, you would think that we're coming off a 4-8 year with some of these high quality players leaving. Like, what can be done, if anything, from the athletic department itself to help? Like, these are very important questions that Shane Beamer, Ray Tanner, and everyone else in a position of power at USC has to start answering right away. Because, you know, as good of a culture as you can have in your football program, clearly wins and good vibes will not be enough. And you see this everywhere in college football, that between the transfer portal, essentially no repercussions for leaving, and NIL, bigger opportunities elsewhere potentially, it's just the new reality of college football. And I hope it levels out. And look, I'm all for these athletes getting their fair share of the pie and making money off of their name, image, and likeness. So if you're South Carolina, how do you keep up with the Joneses? You know, we have some good fan-led initiatives, but it feels like the weight of the university is not fully behind them. You look at other schools, and they're doing some incredible things. You lose a guy like Marshawn Lloyd and Jaheim Bell. Like, you recruited these guys, you developed these guys, and then they leave. You've got to find a way to retain this talent if you want to be consistently competitive. And then on the flip side, you know, which I think Shane Beamer is good at, you have to be able to use the portal yourself. So learn how to backfill these guys And then maybe there's other programs where our NIL is better than them, right? I feel like we're somewhere in the middle. So going to be very interesting to watch, but that is a huge, huge loss losing Marshawn. And yeah, it's just going to freaking stink to see him somewhere else and probably have a kick-ass year. But on the other side of the news, the Gamecocks will be getting some talent returning next year. A bit of luck at last, if you will. Wide receiver Amarion Brown and defensive back Marcellus Dial both announced they will be playing in the Gator Bowl and will return for the 2023 season. And I mean, that, like I just said, that's great news in a time when us fans really needed some. And both of these positions, wide receiver and D-back, will be significantly thinner going into next season. And both of those guys have shown big-time play ability. You know, Brown showed his diverse playmaking ability, and he showed them really throughout last year, but especially late in the year, coming on strong with some jet sweeps, quick passes, and then filling in the punt return game. I could really see him doing that full-time next year as well, which would be huge. Dial had a fantastic game against Clemson, but he was a solid contributor throughout the year, especially when healthy. So very excited to see those two guys come back. And then, speaking of next year, it appears that Shane Beamer has found the man to lead the offense next season. Now, mind you, nothing officially has been announced from the university as I'm recording this, but several news outlets are reporting it, very trusted sources, all that jazz. So it is expected to be announced that South Carolina will hire Dowell Loggins, who is currently the tight ends coach at Arkansas, to be the next offensive coordinator. And for anyone who's on Gamecock social media, you'll know the absolute madhouse it has been, thanks in part to the rumors of this hire. And again, like, it's not official stamped yet from the university side. And once it is, I will dive more into his resume and the type of offense that we can expect. But in short, he was the offensive coordinator for a few NFL teams, none of which were really any good while he was there. The offenses were nothing to write home about. So he went back to the college ranks. He is an Arkansas alum. But apparently he has been an incredible recruiter. He's very football savvy. And the idea is that from a culture standpoint, a coworker standpoint, everyone has liked working with him, and he's going to gel well with the staff that we have. Huge caveat, though, something that I failed to mention, and because it's true, he has yet to call a play ever in college football. Again, this is why Gamecock Twitter and Instagram and everything has been a madhouse. The guy has never called a play in college football. So to have a little bit of an analogy here of how I think of this hire, and again, it's not my decision, you know. I don't get paid the big bucks to make these decisions for a reason, but it's kind of like you're getting a new puppy. And you go to the adoption fair, and you're the first one there. And you have all the options at this adoption fair. There's a golden retriever puppy, a German shepherd puppy, a lab puppy, maybe a corgi. But then for whatever reason, the mutt, scruffy, all different types of colors, just kind of catches your eye. And it was there with the other dogs. It's a good, healthy dog. But for whatever reason, this one that's just a little different catches your eye. You fall in love with it and you take it home. Now, that's not to say that this dog won't grow up to be the amazing, fun-loving companion that you expect, but you just don't know what you're going to get like you would with a golden retriever or a German shepherd. It just feels like Shane Beamer had the pick of the litter with this hire, with all the momentum in the world, and he kind of goes off the beaten path to get the tight ends coach who hasn't called a play in college, hasn't been calling an offense for a couple years. He's been in Arkansas, I think, since 2020. And I don't know. You know, I mean, it's just on one hand, like, I truly believe in Shane Beamer as our head coach. And I believe in him to lead this program. But I am just incredibly skeptical of this hire, if you couldn't tell. Again, I'm going to revisit it when the announcement is official, which I think will be Wednesday or Thursday. But yeah, if this is it, guys, I mean, we just really have to just believe in Beamer. We can be cautiously optimistic. We're allowed to be skeptical as fans. That is our job. But it appears that, for better or worse, the OC search is coming to a close, which is good because we need to have that for continuity, for recruiting, all that jazz. Which brings me to the games that have already been played and are currently being played, starting with the men's basketball team here. They got back in action this past Sunday against Presbyterian, got the victory 68-57, and how about nice little back-to-back wins for this team? Hell yeah. Carolina was only up by 4 at the half, but got on a 14-0 run in the second half to propel them to a comfortable win. G.G. Jackson with 18 points and 5 rebounds, showing some range with his jump shot. The kid is just unreal good. Mechie Johnson with 16 points, Hayden Brown with 14. So a nice day for the big three, if you will. Chico Carter followed up with 6 points as well. Up next for the Gamecocks, the team goes on the road Wednesday night at UAB. The Blazers are 7-2 on the year and are coming off a nice run of last season, if you'll remember. So they're a team that has some experience. They're playing with some energy now. They average 87 points per game compared to Carolina's 64. But both teams are very similar defensively, allowing 69 points per game. My crow to the game. That's right. We do crows to the game throughout the year, not just football, is slow down Jelly Walker. He is their leading scorer, dynamic guard. You probably remember him from the NCAA tournament last year. So if you want to make this a close game, you need to slow down Jelly. Love that guy. Brings me to the women's team. The women also played on Sunday and defeated Liberty 88-39. And that score says it all. Simply the number one team in the country, dominating. Women only allowed 6 points in the third quarter. 6. Some player highlights for you. Zaya Cook with 20 points. Sonya Fagan with 14 points. And a Leah Boston with 13. The women's next game is Thursday night against South Dakota State in South Dakota. Must be quite the trip. The Jackrabbits are 7-4 on the year. Also have a pair of Power 5 victories already this season against Kansas State and Louisville. So the Jackrabbits maybe present a bit more of a challenge than Liberty, but I still think Dawn Staley and company will just simply be too much to handle. If there's a crow to the game here, it's feed the bigs. Let the game go through Boston, Saxon, Cardozo. Anytime South Carolina has faced a scrappy team like the Jackrabbits, that's proven to be a winning formula to wear that team out and ultimately win. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever you listen it to. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.